Let's pray, shall we? Father, thank you for your word, and I pray that you would give mental focus to my mind today. I'm having a hard time doing that, but thank you that your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And Lord, if we can get it out accurately, the best part is that your word works, and it's as we understand it, Paul probably was a faulty presenter and a choppy one and so on. But, Lord, so these vessels of clay are not the big deal. Your truth is, and I just thank you for that. Lord, work in our hearts, even on the interesting topic we'll have today. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, this is like funny almost, this lesson today. Because most of you would get your doctorate in eating if you could. And that's what this is all about today, is what you can and can't eat today. What God told Israel they could and couldn't eat, really. So it doesn't really relate to us directly today. But it's worth a discussion anyway. So this is Leviticus 11. And we go through and just break this down just in a, I don't know, somewhat of an outline. I found it rather interesting to try and break down, but let's see. Let's just work our way through it and see how we go, okay? And if you have questions or comments, let me know. It probably won't be one of those discussions about food that makes you hungry. So we're thankful for that, right? So, also though, I kind of like to talk about things that make me hungry, so that's a disappointment. Anyway, verses 1 and 2. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying to them, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, these are the animals which you may eat among all the animals that are on the earth." So God directs Israel's eating. Now, we're in the Old Testament, right? So that none of this has anything to do with this, right? It actually does, maybe not directly, but indirectly. But let's back up a little bit first. What did people used to eat at the very beginning of time?
Fruits and vegetables.
Yeah, it was, you know, they were vegetarian.
Apples.
I'm sure apples were one of them, right? Vegetarian, so anything that fit in there, right? Turn to Genesis 1 real quick, just so I don't have to have you believe me without warrant. After he told Adam and Eve to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it, in verses 26 to 27 and 28, he says, verse 29, "And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food." And the same goes in verse 30 for animals. Okay, they eat, animals were all vegetarian as well. All right, there was no carnivorous animal whatsoever at this point. Okay. When did it change to where they were actually eating meat?
After the flood.
After the flood. Where is that at?
I'm going
to say Genesis 9. You say Genesis 9 is a good thing then. Genesis 9, after the flood. Now there's logic maybe here, but it seems like mankind now needed animal meat, higher levels of protein. That's a presupposition. That's not a proof there, right? But God says this here, Genesis 9. I'll start at verse 1. "So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth." That's when that changed. You couldn't walk up to a lion anymore, or a dinosaur, or whatever. they'll be afraid of you. Every beast of the earth, every bird of the air, on all that move on the earth, and all the fish of the sea, and they are given into your hand. So even though they're now afraid of you, they're yours to have. Verse 3, every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. Okay, now listen. People that argue that you should eat under Old Testament law, forget this verse. Why am I saying that? Well, it's part of the law, ultimately, you know, the book of Genesis thing. But before, God said you can eat any animal. He didn't restrict it at all. You got that? Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I've given you all things. So what can you not eat? I'm thinking people. Rocks, yeah. You know,
the blood from the
animals. And it goes on to say you have to drain the blood from the animals, but otherwise there was no restriction diet-wise, okay? You should not eat the flesh with its life, that's its blood, okay? And then he goes and institute capital punishment. So understand, they went from vegetarian to... what is... omnivore, yeah. Omnivorous, really, because, but it sounds like, at least, the theory is this. I get rubbing in my class. The theory is this. For some, is that the environment changed, and all of a sudden you had greater levels of ultraviolet and all that. So the diet of just vegetables. It's hard to stay healthy with. It's not that you can't, it just becomes very hard. So you need extra levels of protein and all that. So then God said, you eat meat. So if you want to be a vegetarian, I have absolutely no problem with it. I don't think the Bible has a problem with it at all. You just can't hold everyone else to that. It's not a religious thing, it's a personal choice thing.
Is it possible, too, that the animals reproduce more quickly than getting crops into the ground when the flood took out everything? So
they had nothing to eat. Well, but they did carry enough food to keep them going, and they didn't know how long, so I'm guessing it wasn't like, oh, glad, 150th day, wow, we just finished our last corn muffin.
But the seed still takes, you know, a year to produce. So.
Yeah, but I mean, still, they would have had lots there. So, you know, and they only had those on the ark. So I get what you're saying. There's still a crop to be grown and all that. But it sounds like they didn't know how much they were, how long they were going to be in the water. Right? So they took a whole bunch. So, but yeah. So they're carnivorous. I don't know if I'm spelling that right. But carn is flesh. Omni is multi. So, you know, they eat the plants and the animals, so they're omnivores, so they can eat salad and a steak, right? Not just the salad or not just the steak or whatever. But again, what could they eat at the time of Noah? Everything at the end of the flood, everything, okay? So that twists a little bit of somebody's interpretation when they say, well, we should live under the law because certain plants or animals are better or worse or whatever. I think it spins that a little bit. Okay, number two here. This is verse 3. I call this the bottom line. There are two rules. And he actually adds all kinds of rules, so don't get caught up. But this would be rules for, not even mammals, I guess, but rules for beasts of the field or whatever, okay? Two rules. Notice what it says. Among the animals, whatever divides the hoof Hoof. And whatever what? Choose the cud. Listen, it's both that apply. And we'll see that shortly here. The animals that they considered clean, going forward from this point, they had to have a cloven hoof, and they had to chew the cud. Okay? Cloven hoof. You know, any number of things. But kind of, I always think of the deer. Deer hoof, you know, that kind of thing. Okay? Well, we'll talk about a pig in a minute because a pig doesn't chew the cud. So yes, but no. Disqualified on part two, right? Okay, verse 4 here. Nevertheless, these you shall not eat among those that chew the cud or those that have cloven hooves. All right? And the reason being is they only have one but not the other. They either have, they chew the cud but they don't have a cloven hoof, or they have a cloven hoof but don't chew the cud, right? So they only match one of the two. So God goes out of the way to say, just so you know, the camel, because it chews the cud but does not have cloven hooves, is unclean to you. The rock hyrax, and by the way, I'm not trying to teach a zoology lesson today. If you want to try and figure out what a rock hyrax is, that's for your own time. Okay? We're not going to have a discussion about that's this or this or this, right? Because it chews the cud but does not have its cloven hooves. I assume that they knew what he was talking about at the time. That's close enough for me for now, right? So this rock hyrax, the hare, kind of like a rabbit, because it chews the cud but does not have cloven hooves, right? So it does one but not the other. And the swine, there's that pig, Karen. There's my bacon. And the swine, though it divides the hoof, having cloven hooves, yet does not chew the cud, it is unclean to you. Their flesh you shall not eat, and their carcasses you shall not touch. So you might want to underline there, shall not eat, shall not touch. We'll get to the touch part in a little bit as we're reading. They are unclean to you. By the way, they weren't unclean until this time. So the big rules for animals, cloven hoof, chewing the cud. Okay? Not hard. And again, you see this a little later. Anyone familiar with Acts 10? And God, Peter's on a roof. He goes into a trance and he sees this, all these unclean things come down. And God says, arise and what? Eat. Okay? He says, no. I'm a holy man. I don't do that. I follow the rules. Was it two more times God does the same thing? Arise and eat. And then he says, don't call unclean what God has made clean. Now, he was talking about the Gentiles, ultimately. Cornelius' house is where he went to. But a lot of people take that as that's the end of the church does not abide by these things as well, okay? Okay, number 3 here. We already covered it. Okay, so number 3 is those that do not have both equal unclean, okay? So if you don't have both, then they're unclean. And that made a pretty easy rule of thumb too, right? You didn't really have to have a list. You just had to know, well, it's chewing its cud. Oh, it's not cloven foot. I know I don't do it, right? It made it pretty easy. Verses 9 through 12. Now these, who knew, right? And I, it's not stuff I'm unfamiliar with, but it's like most people think of Jews and pigs. There's all kinds of things they couldn't eat. They couldn't eat bacon, but they also couldn't eat catfish. For example.
Shrimp.
Yeah. And I'm like, thank you, Lord. You know, because I like my shrimp anyway. I don't do a lot of catfish. But number 4, let me put this down. As far as these are the two rules for water creatures, okay? In order for them to be clean, they have to have fins and scales. Okay? I don't know why, but I just thought of this stupid logic joke that had nothing to do with anything. Has to do with the fins. And it's all in answer to why fire trucks are red. I'm going to tell you because now you want to know, right?
Yeah, right. You got to be curious.
One thing I've noticed about getting older is everything reminds you of something else. So that's why old guys stand and talk about everything but their sermon. Theoretically, not everyone. Why are fire trucks red? Fire trucks, and by the way, none of this makes sense and most of it isn't true, right? Fire trucks have four wheels and eight wheels and four men. 4 and 8 is 12. 12 inches and a foot. Foot is a ruler. Queen Elizabeth is a ruler. Queen Elizabeth is also one of the largest ships in the seven seas. Seas have fish. Fish have fins. Fish fought the Russians. The Russians are always red. Fire trucks are always Russian. Therefore, that's why fire trucks are red. Back to our lesson now. Yeah, and you're like, that's like saying First Nazarene Method Baptist Gospel Seventh-day Orthodox Lutheran non-denominational Church of Our Lady of Remind. So where do you go to church at? Well, First Nazarene Method Baptist Gospel Seventh-day Orthodox. Verse 9, these you may eat of all that are in the water. Whatever in the water has fins and scales. There you have it. Whether in the seas or in the rivers, doesn't matter, salt or fresh, right? That you may eat, but all in the seas or rivers that do not have fins and scales. Notice again, it's both criteria have to be true. All that move in the water, or any living thing that is in the water, they are an abomination to you. They shall be an abomination to you. You shall not eat their flesh, but you shall regard their carcasses as an abomination. Whatever in the water does not have fins or scales, that shall be an abomination to you. So not just shrimp, crab, mussels,
lobster.
Turtle, all of that, right? Sharks. Sharks have fins, but they don't have scales, right? Dolphins.
Whales.
Yeah, whales. All kinds of stuff, right? So you can't eat them, and they're an abomination to you. And it says, well, at least there, it doesn't say you can't touch these, I guess. But later on, I think it brings that out. All right? Verse 13 through verse 17. Now these have to do with, number 5, have to do with birds. Birds that you can't eat. And you're like thinking, birds? Well, we eat a lot of birds, right? The ones we eat, you know, how many is like chicken? Yeah, that's a bird. Yeah, turkey's a bird. Right? Grouse, pheasants. Duck?
Geese.
Geese?
Turducken.
What?
Turducken,
yeah. Turducken.
That's from Scott. They don't grow from Scott.
Yes, I know. I saw something recently about the turducken, so I look at Sean and just roll my eyes, as I do about any comment about Wisconsin. I was like, oh. No. Pardon me? Oh, really?
It's a turkey stuffed with a duck.
Yeah, a turkey. Duck. Stuff a turkey with a duck.
And a duck with a chicken.
And a duck with a chicken.
Yeah.
I could see people that would do that. That's like wrapping your hamburger with bacon. You know what I mean? That's like good. Anyway, here's the list. These shall not be eaten. They're an abomination. The eagle, the vulture, the buzzard, the kite, the falcon after its kind, every raven after its kind, the ostrich, the short-eared owl, the seagull, the hawk after its kind, the little owl, the fisher owl, and the screech owl, the white owl, the jackdaw, and the carrion vulture, the stork, heron after its kind, and the hoopoe, and the bat. What is a primary common denominator for most, if not all, of these?
Predators.
They're predators. They eat meat. I am talking backwards. Is that clock right?
No.
It's eternal. 22. I can teach forever. I'm always late, but I'm never done. What is it?
It's 25.
Okay, give me a 5-minute warning before noon. All right, so you can't eat birds, and most of them are all of them are flesh eaters, they seem to be. And oftentimes flesh is dead flesh, right? Not fresh flesh. Okay? Number six, and this is like some of this, I'm not sure that God had to forbid me on, you know? It's like, I didn't run out thinking, you know what sounds good today? Eagle. I'm thinking eagle sounds pretty tasty. An eagle burger or whatever, you know, a leg of eagle or whatever. But anyway, number six is bugs you can't eat. But listen, we live in a different culture, right? But there, a lot of cultures eat bugs. A lot of them are delicacies. I'm not in that culture. You know, but whatever. All flying insects that creep on all fours shall be an abomination to you.
Problem with that, insects have six legs.
Four joints. Well, but it actually lets you eat some things with joints. So all fours might be a figure of speech to you. So I don't know. Because I'm saying it does let you eat grasshoppers. So it's not forbidding grasshoppers here. So anyway, let me finish this and we'll chat about it because I love talking about eating bugs anyway. All flying insects that creep on all fours shall be an abomination to you. Don't you hate it when you eat a bug? It's even worse. You're driving your bike. Ever swallow a bee? I don't know why I swallowed a bee. I guess I'll flee. I don't know. Yet these you may eat of every flying insect that creeps on all fours. Those which have jointed legs above their feet with which to leap on the earth. So I don't think it's counting all fours so much as down on contact with the earth kind of thing. But anything that leaps on the earth, which is what? Locust? Destroying locust after its kind, the cricket after its kind, the grasshopper after its kind. But all other flying insects which have 4 feet shall be an abomination. So just the jumping kind. Well, but they don't jump anyway, so they don't, I mean... No, but I mean, they don't have jumping legs like this. It lists them specifically. But it sounds like it's you get the idea and you won't mistake it for a spider. Right? So, but I'm just like, I've never looked at a locust thinking, Or worse yet, these are the things he said you could eat. I've never looked at like a spider thinking, you know? A little bit of bacon grease, that thing would be pretty tasty, crunchy there. But again, different culture, and you're in an arid environment, you're collecting whatever kinds of protein and stuff you can have. And I think part of the forbidding here means that, you know, they had no limits until now. So they were, you know, crunching on everything, imagine. And you go in different cultures, you talk to Shane and Esther when they went over to China to adopt Liana, their baby. And it's like, beetles get that big and they eat them too, you know? It's like, you know, here's, you know, which one do you want? You know, it's a handful of beetle and it's one of them, you know? And it's lunch.
Leg of beetle.
There you go. How about deep fat fried leg of beetle? Now we're talking. So anyway, yeah, you couldn't eat frog legs on here either. No scales, no fins, right? Anyone had frog legs?
Tastes like chicken.
Tastes like chicken. Alligator fingers?
No rattlesnake.
Alligator tastes like rubber. Rubber chicken. Anybody had beaver? Tastes like dark roast. Roast beaver. That's good. Anyway, okay, here we go. Now, it goes on to say, now he starts talking about what if. What if, you know, what you can or can't do, right? Because if you're unclean, then what? Too, okay? So verse 24. By these you shall become unclean. Whoever touches. Now, you might want to circle touch and go up to touch in the last of the third box right up here. It says touch. You shall not touch. You shall not eat. Remember, what if you do touch it? Okay? You'll be unclean until evening. So it's kind of a limited unclean. So again, it's not a health thing. It's something else. God just sets up rules. And we'll talk about why in a little bit. Whoever carries part of the carcass of any of them shall wash his clothes and be unclean till evening. So if you touch it, you're unclean till evening. If you carry it, you're unclean till evening and you have to wash your clothes. The carcass of any... Why would you carry a carcass? Yeah, what if it's just dead in your way or it's in your field or you got to move it? You know, rancid meat is not good for your flock. You know, it just brings disease and stuff. The carcass of any animal which divides the foot but is not cloven hoofed or does not chew the cud is unclean to you. Everyone who touches it shall be unclean. But this is ceremonially unclean. It keeps you from being able to do things like participate in sacrifices, offerings, or requires them sometimes. And whatever goes on its paws among all kinds of animals that go on all fours, those are unclean to you. Fifi is unclean. Whoever touches any such carcass shall be unclean till evening. Whoever carries any such carcass shall wash his clothes and be unclean till evening. So it's an unclean, and I don't know why. Why pick these and not those? Right? And people have analyzed medically all of that, but God let them eat everything up until this point. Right, so to me, the medical arguments, it doesn't hold, and now we are able to eat it again. Okay, so that's the hard part. I think I have a little bit of a reason, but it may not satisfy you, but I'll tell you at the end. It's more satisfying than why fire trucks are red, though. Okay, number seven, touching carcasses. Number eight, unclean creeping things. He goes into detail on this. These shall also be unclean to you among the creeping things that creep on the earth. The mole, the mouse, and the large lizard after its kind. The gecko. So insurance representatives? The monitor lizard, the sand reptile, the sand lizard, and the chameleon. How would you even know it was on your fork? Just a question, but these are unclean to you. These are unclean to you among all that creep. Whoever touches them when they are dead shall be unclean till evening. Now it doesn't say when they're alive. Well, it already said you couldn't eat it. Yeah, so these are already unclean. But if you touch them when they're dead, that you shall be unclean till evening. It doesn't say what if you touch them when they're alive. You're just apparently not supposed to eat them, but you're unclean if they died.
I wonder if people back in that time had these kind of things for pets like we have today.
Or in their sleeping bag or something, you know. You go camping, it's like, ah! Some of these now you're dead!
Some of these things are...
Now I'm unclean.
As we say, they are natural.
Yeah. Well, it seems like they couldn't eat them. Some of them they couldn't touch. But like here, if you touch the carcass, you're unclean. But it isn't necessarily if they run across your bed, your bed's unclean. It seems like if they died. So, okay, number nine here. Anything on which any of them falls. Now, it addresses, okay, what if, you know, you can't eat mice? Okay. You know, because it's like, well, I've cleaned them. I've built a whole suit of mice fur. You know, it's you'd eat it in a probably if you were starved even today. But I know the POWs in the Vietnam War ate anytime they caught a rat was like heaven because that was their only protein, right? That's so. But anyway, and this didn't apply to them. They weren't breaking any rules. Let me just read this here. But they cover different things, different possibilities. Anything on which any of them falls when they are dead shall be unclean. So if something falls, whatever is dead, these things fall and they die or they're dead, then it's unclean. Whether it is any item of wood or clothing or skin or sack, whatever item it is in which any work is done, it must be put in water, and it shall be unclean until evening, then it shall be clean. So if something falls, there was a cleaning of it, rinsing it in water. It didn't take scrubbing or whatever. You just had to put it in water. Any earthen vessel into which any of them falls, you shall break, and whatever is in it shall be unclean. So if you have a dead mouse fall in your water bottle, I'm just going to drink it. Okay. But I know God goes out his way sometimes and tells you the obvious maybe, but maybe it was a lot more common and it was like a big hassle to do something about it.
Probably didn't have a cleanliness thing going on then.
Or not as much. There was a lot of cleanliness things developed in the law, even like how to use the restroom kind of thing. It was all explained. In any such vessel, any edible food upon which water falls becomes unclean, and any drink that may be drunk from it becomes unclean if one of these falls in it dead or on it dead. Everything on which a part of any such carcass falls shall be unclean. So again, dead things falling on other things makes them unclean. And again, it does sound like a germy kind of thing, but it's the unclean things that fall, not the clean things that fall. All right, if that makes sense. Whether it is an oven or a cooking stove, it shall be broken down, for they are unclean, and it shall be unclean. If a dead thing falls on your oven, would you break it down? I mean, that seems an overreaction, but that's what was required by Scripture. So what if something unclean falls? Falls on or in? That's what it's telling here, okay? All right, six more points. Here's an exception. Number 10 is an exception. Okay? And again, there does seem to be some medical, you know, germy kind of intimations here anyway, because this makes more sense. Nevertheless, a spring or cistern in which there is plenty of water shall be clean, but whatever touches any such carcass becomes unclean. So if something falls in a huge pool of water, the huge pool is not unclean. Or if it's a spring or a, you know, flowing water. Okay, stuff that I would never think of, but they think it up. So that God answers questions before they're asked. And if part of any such carcass falls on any planting seed which is to be sown, and it's like, that's true. What if I have seed, which is very valuable, planting seed, right? Because that's what you eat off of next year. What if something dead falls on it? Well, it's still clean. But if water is put on the seed, and if part of any such carcass falls on it, then it becomes unclean. If somehow it's able to germinate some, and the carcass is there, then you're to kill it. Apparently, again, or you're to call it unclean. So apparently that, again, can disease spread that way or something. So what if stuff falls on seeds? Answer something that maybe you and I would never even think about. Now, we've talked about all the carcasses of unclean animals. Now it's going to talk about, well, what about the carcass of clean animals? Verse 39, and if any animal which you may eat dies, he who touches its carcass shall be unclean until evening. So if it dies, as opposed to being slaughtered, I suppose. And he who eats of its carcass shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. He who also carries its carcass shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. So what do you do with animals that have died, clean animals that have died? Well, apparently, you're unclean till evening. Okay? And it gives you different things. Wash your clothes. And again, probably the die thing. If something dies, something's wrong. Right, something's wrong with the animal. Okay, now it jumps back into some more interesting things. Verse 41 here. And every creeping thing that creeps on the earth shall be an abomination. It shall not be eaten. Whatever crawls on its belly, whatever goes on all fours, or whatever has many feet among all creeping things that creep on the earth. There's your many feet, people. These you shall not eat, for they are an abomination. You shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creeps, nor shall you make yourselves unclean with them, lest you be defiled by them. So number 13 just lists more creeping things. I was going to say creepy things in my notes. I was going to put creepy creeping things. Then he gives two reasons. And again, these will be more satisfying than why fire trucks are red. But they may not be fully satisfying to you, okay? Because it doesn't answer always what. Here's two verses here. For I am the Lord your God. So four is because, right? Because I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Verse 45, for I am the Lord who brings you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. So number 14 is holy. And it says here, reason number one, God is holy. I am to be holy. Now stop a minute. Why now? And why is he telling them this right now? And second question is, why are we not unholy by eating the very stuff that he said he can't eat in the first place? Oh, I was like, what is that noise? Don't be embarrassed. He's wonderful. Pinch. Time to go on. Okay. Any answers on that? Why for a period of time was it wrong to eat pork? But now it's okay. It was okay before and now it's okay again. Why are we not unholy eating pork? Because if you ever tasted a breaded tenderloin, how can that be unholy? That isn't a good answer.
Why? Because God declared it clean.
But why would it have been unholy before? Are you getting my question?
I would say it would be the commonality of the people around them, which that may have been their mainstay or part of. Some of the stuff that they were eating was their mainstay of survival, if I can say that. And God wanted to make them separate from those people, and this is one way that he could do that.
It seems, and I may be wrong, and this may not satisfy you, but it seems that God just selected a list. Maybe there's some logic behind it. They weren't as good at animals, you know. Pork is the other white meat, but they sit in mud all day, you know, kind of thing or whatever.
Well, they ate a bunch of garbage.
Right. So I'm saying just maybe their diet habits or something like that, all that, you know, like the birds of prey that eat all the food that, you know, meat and stuff like that. But maybe it was just a better diet, but and that's all it was. It wasn't so much sin or not. You know, pork is, go ahead, Dad. Right.
They say now you shouldn't eat pork because our metabolic rate is slower. Pork dissolves in our system too fast for our body to.
Yeah, but I understand all of the science stuff, but the Bible never tells us that, and he now lets us eat pork again. So this only applies to the Israelites, and the church is not under that. If that makes sense. Yeah, well, in that sense, right, so that's what I was getting at. Unless the Bible tells you otherwise, it's not, there might be medical reasons to eat, you know, certain kinds of lettuce and not other kinds of lettuce. But God says you can eat any kind of plant, right? So what I'm saying is it was not sin for a while. And after the flood, too. It was all the way from Noah all the way to Moses. They could eat pork. And it was the same atmospheric issue. Okay? And then after the law, we're not held to the law anymore. So we're not held to have, we can eat bacon or whatever we want. So why is it sin? It was sin for them. It was an abomination to eat that food. But only starting at that point. All the time in Egypt, they apparently could eat it. So the only thing I could say is God created a standard. I didn't hear you. Well, I don't know that food, you know, I don't know. Any standard, I suppose, makes it harder, right? But he makes a standard, and maybe there's logic behind it, you know, to some degree that it's better to eat beef than pork, though all of our doctors say don't eat red meat, right? They'd tell you just the opposite. Too much red meat kills you off or whatever. So, but he creates a standard, and so that you will be different. That God's people will be different. Now, I'm not saying he doesn't have reasons or whatever, but I do not think it was all health motivated. Otherwise, he would have not. Why would you shut that off later on? Why would you say, Kevin, it's okay for you to eat pork now if it's not okay for you to eat pork now? Right? So then the issue becomes, I think God creates a standard so that it differentiates or makes us different than other people, Israelites different than other people. So, and if this helps, and it probably sounds like why fire trucks are red, but sometimes I think God creates a standard just so that you are different. Yeah, right, you can eat meat offered to idols, but if it causes somebody else to stumble, or if you're having misgivings about it, no. But it's not the meat itself that has the issue. But that's what it's not wholly satisfying to me, but I think it's not unrealistic that God says, you know what, I'm going to have you be this way, just so that you're different and you stand out. And again, are there dietary logical reasons that we can discover in some of this? Yes, but it's not forbidden by God. Otherwise, you wouldn't be eating chips ever or French fries ever either, right? Because it's bad for you. So, you know, you've got to follow the logic one way or the other. Yeah.
So why that?
It was kind of a ceremonial distinction.
It's the same thing.
So, and maybe I'll put that word down here too, but sometimes God just makes rules. And I know it sounds funny, and I'm not saying that he doesn't have deeper reasons, but he doesn't tell us. He just, now at this point in time in Leviticus, he says, starting today, you will no longer eat any of these things because they're now unclean. They weren't unclean yesterday. At least as I understand it. And then later on, they're not unclean again. You can eat catfish. Or shrimp. Lots of shrimp.
Or it's got to be cooked done, or else you've got a parasite or something in it.
Well, you, yeah.
Kind of a deal.
But there's all kinds of stuff, you know, reasons people can put, but the Bible doesn't delve into those reasons. He doesn't say so you can be healthy. He says it so you can be what? Holy. Right? And if he meant healthy, that's what he'd say. And by the way, he did say, if you obey me, I'll keep you healthy. And that was to the Israelites again. Here's the last one here. It says, this is the law of the animals and the birds. It's kind of a summary statement. That moves in the waters and every creature that creeps on the earth. And notice here, to distinguish between the unclean and the clean, between the animal that may be eaten and the animal that may not be eaten. So, and I put this, and I don't even know if this is even fair to put down. To make you wise in your eating, to make you stop and think. And again, is it diet or not? Yes and no. Because again, for you to be holy, not healthy necessarily. By the way, if you pursue the logic of health, you'll never want to be persecuted because that's unhealthy. Okay? You know what I'm saying? If us living longer is the goal, then we will not follow God the way we need to because we need to. Being stoned is unhealthy. Ask Stephen. Right? You know, so our life is not the foremost pursuit. We're to take up our cross and follow him. But to be wiser in eating, but wise in it, not necessarily. Listen, one more thing here. Does the Bible say anything in the New Testament about eating besides what Sean said that, you know, if it offends somebody, we shouldn't eat it, or if it makes us struggle? Because meat offered to idols, it's okay. Unless you're wrestling with that or if it causes somebody else to stumble, Paul says, then I'll never eat meat if that's the case. If that'll cause somebody to stumble, I will refuse. But one passage I'm thinking of is 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do to the glory of God. And to me, that's more of a driving force right now. Can you eat this in good conscience? And I don't think God is necessarily asking you not to eat potato chips. Otherwise, you know, our diet would be very narrow. And every year it would change because they always tell us something. Now you need to eat all the eggs you can. Before you couldn't eat eggs, you know, kind of stuff like that. You know, no, well, I honestly believe that God isn't as picky about our food as we are. It's how we live our lives for him and why we're eating. So, right? Questions or comments? It's still, I've been teaching forever and it seems like no time's gone by.
My comment, I'm not going to eat a rattlesnake.
I had a water moccasin. I fried a water moccasin one time, a cottonmouth. And yes, it tasted like chicken. There's just nothing there. Yeah. By the way, a water moccasin is like eating a vacuum hose. You know, there's no meat on it except just on the outside. So you'd starve to death if you were eating snake meat, at least the water moccasin. So they boiled the rattlesnake, and I'm like, eh, that looked nasty. So.
Some cultures eat eel, and eel is not, it's a challenge.
How about the electric eel? It's a charging challenge then.
Only when it's alive.
Anyway. I don't give you all the answers. You just need to know that God, at this point, limits them as to what they could eat. And it was for Israel. And we're not under the law. And so God says, at least in several pointed places, we're not to judge people by what they eat. Which kind of opens up the door to say, you know, that doesn't say you can't pursue whatever you want. You just can't judge other people by what they do, too, right? So I'm going to go home and have something really unhealthy. I don't know what it'll be. Just to celebrate.
Don't think we're supposed to be cannibals.
No, we're not supposed to be cannibals. God forbids that. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this class time. And we pray that you would just help us to, at the very least, understand that you had limits for the people of God in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel. Lord, you've never burdened us with this, but Lord, we want to be good stewards of our bodies and our money and all of that. Help us to find that the happy medium where we're not judging others, and yet maybe we can encourage each one of us to be as healthy as we can be for your honor and glory. But Lord, ultimately, we know that more than healthy, you want us to be holy. And I pray that that would be our ultimate pursuit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.